Let's continue with our series about those who are blessed by God. Been on this for some Sundays now, and we'll continue this evening as we're in the New Testament.
And if you want, go in your Bible to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We want to consider some passages from the Word of God tonight that inform us about those who are truly blessed by God. And what we'll look at is the blessed statements. Blessed are those who? We want to find out those who are blessed. And so if you will, turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And we have here, number one, those who are blessed. Well, blessed are those who hear God's word and keep it. If you're there now in Luke chapter 11, notice verses 27 and 28. And it happened as Jesus spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to Jesus, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." But Jesus said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." So this well-intentioned woman in the crowd, who no doubt thought a lot of Jesus and had a great deal of respect for Jesus, basically says, "Jesus, how blessed is your mother." Now, who wouldn't mind someone saying nice things about his or her mother? Jesus accepts the compliment. And of course, this woman is not just complimenting Jesus' mother. This woman is also complimenting Jesus, paying a great tribute to Jesus himself. But notice that Jesus goes on. He doesn't argue with the woman. He doesn't say, "Woman, you're wrong." He goes on in verse 28 and says, "More than that, woman, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And so if we want to be blessed in life, if we want to be blessed by God, if we want to be favored by God, we need to hear his word, but that's not good enough. What does the text say? Blessed are those who hear it and what? And keep it and do it. Right, right. So the blessing really comes in the doing of God's word, but of course we have to hear it first. James says something similar to this. He says, "Whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, this man will be blessed in his deeds." So James reaffirms what Jesus teaches here. And that's interesting that James calls the law of liberty. The law of God, and all of God's commands are truly liberating because they keep us safe and we end up doing what's good for us. I think as good Christians, we should consider it a privilege to have a Bible, and we should consider it a privilege to be able to read it. How many Bibles do you have at home? Hopefully they're not collecting dust. And we also should consider it a privilege to be able to come to a church service and hear the Word of God, to hear the Word of God expounded, to be able to look at the Word of God and read it together and to consider what it means and how it applies to us. This should be considered something that's looked forward to, something that's a blessing, something that's a joy, something to be sought after. Rather than say, "Oh boy, it's time to go to church. How long is the pastor going to talk tonight?" You know, we shouldn't have that kind of an attitude. We should be considered eager because this book is a powerful book. Let's just consider a few things about the Word of God before we move on. The Word of God, the Bible, the Holy Bible, and all 66 books, whether it's the 39 books of the Old Testament or the 27 books of the New Testament, they inform us about God. We wouldn't know much about God at all if it weren't for the Bible. So the Bible informs us about God. We become acquainted with God. We get to know who is God as we read and study the Bible. And of course, we really need to read the whole Bible to get the full, complete picture of God represented in the Bible. And when we come face to face with God, guess what happens? We're all humbled. We're all cut down to size, and we see ourselves for who we really are. The creatures of God. As we read the Bible, we understand the plans and the purposes of God. And I believe the best way to get rid of selfishness and self-preoccupation is to get to know God. Because then we understand the universe was made by God, and God's word and God's will is all important. His plans and purposes are important. I'm not the center of the universe. My goals and my will is not all that important. It's subordinate and secondary to God's will. So the Bible has an uncanny way of helping us to put our own lives and the meaning of our own lives into proper perspective. Well, then the Bible informs us about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. 531 times in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as the Christ or the Messiah. So all the New Testament writers were absolutely convinced Jesus is the Messiah sent from God. And when we study the New Testament, we learn that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Through faith in Jesus and what He did for us on the cross, all of our sins are forgiven. And we can have joy and peace as we experience the forgiveness of our sins. And then as we consider the Bible, and we consider the commands of the Bible, as we consider, you might say, the rules that are there, as we consider, say, even the Sermon on the Mount and how it is that Jesus wants us to live, we find there safety and security for our lives. Everything that God asks us to do is designed to keep us safe, to protect us, and bring honor to Him. So we ought not to have a negative view as to the commands of the Bible. We ought not to push the Bible aside and say, well, I don't need that. You really do need that. And so Jesus ends up saying, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Young people, if you've been hearing the word of God since your youth, you should consider that an extra blessing that you have in your life. You have the opportunity to know God, to know about God, to know about the salvation that we have in Jesus, even from a young age, so that the rest of your life will be lived out serving God and carrying out His will. So blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Number two, blessed are those who do good. If you're there in Luke chapter 11, just turn over to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Blessed are those who do good. And we'll look at verses, 12 through 14. Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Okay. Then Jesus also said to him who invited him. That means Jesus was invited to a dinner, to a great banquet. And Jesus says, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. Boy, that sounds rather dramatic. Don't invite people who can repay you. In other words, don't do good to people who are just going to do good back to you. Don't get involved in this big game of tit for tat. Read on here. But when you give a feast, invite, says Jesus, the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And, notice verse 14, and you will be blessed because they can't repay you. But you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Well, that's rather amazing. Jesus says, do good to people who can't do good back to you. Be kind to people who can't extend a favor back to you. Now, in our human nature, you know, we like to be nice to people if they're going to be nice back to us. We do something nice to somebody in the office. We do good to people because we're expecting them to be nice back to us. And yeah, there's some truth to that. I mean, Jesus does tell us elsewhere, I mean, treat other people the way you want them to treat you. So, I mean, there's something to be said for that. But Jesus is also telling us here that go out of your way to do nice things. Go out of your way to extend kindness and love and mercy and compassion to people who need it, who can't do a thing for you. And of course, Jesus mentions some rather dramatic situations. The poor, the maimed, they may be paralyzed or have no use of arms or legs or limbs. The lame, people who can't walk, or the blind. People who are really in a dire straits. Are you raising your hand to make a comment?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I'll let you. Go ahead.
Thank you. So the verse 14, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Can I say then that when I go to the Dominican Republic, I usually prepare a box and I send it in front of me.
Yeah.
But then when I'm going, the day that I'm going there, then I have one or two luggages with me that I can take with me there. So even if I send something before, I have something to take with me. But to heaven, I can send as much as I can ahead of me. That way, when I die, it's nothing I can take with me. I cannot take a couple of luggage like what I do when I go to the Dominican Republic. So when I go, when I die, it's nothing I can take with me. So I have to take, I have to send the most I can.
Right. I guess that's a good illustration. I guess what Christina is saying is sometimes she gets a box. She buys a box and she fills it all up with maybe things she doesn't need or maybe clothes she's bought at a discount store, and she ships it down to maybe some of her relatives, and they can either use it or sell it or pass it on or do whatever they want with it. So she's been doing that for some time. And of course, then when she actually visits the Dominican Republic, she fills the suitcase to the max with maybe clothing or other articles that either she doesn't need or our family doesn't need, or things she's gone out to purchase very inexpensively to help give people down there, because she understands the need of people and she's willing to help them in this way. So I guess what Christina is saying, she's sort of making a little illustration here that when we all die, we can't take anything with us to heaven. You all know that. When we die, you know, you can't pack the coffin and nothing's going with you. Everything stays here. But what Christina is saying, well, all the good works we do in this life, especially to those who are less privileged than we are, or the unfortunate people, all the good things we do for them, we can sort of send ahead, I suppose, our potential reward. The reward we're going to get, we're sort of sending that ahead. We're sort of laying up in store for ourselves treasure in heaven, as Jesus puts it elsewhere, by doing all these good things. So I thank you for sharing that illustration. So I guess go pack your boxes and ship them off to someone who is in need. But anyway, it's a good point, because we often think of being nice to people who can be nice back to us, but Jesus says just the opposite. Go out of your way to be nice to people who can't repay you. So blessed are those who do good. Christina.
So when I say something to Mary, I'm not buying that salvation. I have a salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ.
And right,
I have
right.
Salvation, but I can say something, because when I die, I cannot take nothing
right,
with me.
Right.
So I have to say things ahead of time.
Right.
So one of the things I can do ahead of time is to invite the poor and the people who don't have much to eat at home and give some of my food to them.
Right. Right. Or even send a little food over to someone maybe who doesn't have too much, or someone who can't cook, or even someone whom you know, if they're single and wouldn't cook a good meal for themselves and they're living off McDonald's and TV dinners, maybe send them over a little home-cooked food and maybe they'll really appreciate it, because you know they can't return with a home-cooked meal just because they don't have the ability to maybe cook like that anymore. So that's an interesting thought. So yeah, let's do good to people. Let's do as much good as we can to as many people as possible. Okay, number three tonight, moving right along. Blessed are those... Oh, let me adjust the graphics here. Blessed are those who are watching for the Lord's return. And for this, we can go to Matthew 24. We'll actually look at two passages here, but let's start with the Matthew 24 passage. Matthew 24 and verses 45 through 50. Blessed are those who are watching for the Lord's return. Now that presumes if you're watching or you're waiting or you're expecting the Lord's return, that means you're interested in doing the Lord's will. It means you're expecting Jesus to come and you want to be found doing that which pleases Jesus when he comes. In other words, those who are watching and waiting for the Lord's return are not oblivious to Jesus' will. On the other hand, if we're not watching, we're not waiting, we're not even expecting Jesus' return, we're probably not very concerned about his will. All right, if you're there in, say, Matthew 24, let me just begin reading in verse 45. Matthew 24, verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed, now this is the key statement, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. That is to say, serving his master well in his absence. Verse 47, assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and to drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, at an hour when he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the hypocrites, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the key statement here is blessed are those who are watching and expecting the Lord's return. If you will, go over to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Here we have a record of something very similar to what we just read in Matthew. This is Luke chapter 12 and verse 35. Luke 12, verse 35. Here Jesus says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. In other words, that shows alertness. You know, when you go to bed at night, normally you shut the light off. Jesus is saying, keep your lamps burning. Now, he doesn't mean by that you can't ever go to sleep or take a nap, but he means spiritually speaking. Keep your lamp burning. Be alert spiritually. So keep your waist girded about, ready to work, ready to serve, and keep your lamps burning. In other words, be spiritually alive, spiritually alert, spiritually active. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. In other words, Jesus will be very happy that we're serving and doing his will and watching and waiting and expecting his return. But notice verse 39. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. I believe that's the third time we've read that in this passage. Truly I say to you, he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants to eat and to drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. So we'll leave it right there. Jesus wants us to be alert and to expect his second coming. And if we're expecting his second coming, we're expecting Jesus to come back. And we all want to hear Jesus say to us, well done. You've been a good, faithful servant. And so that means in this life, as we live each day, we try to do the will of God and do what's right in his sight. All right, let's move on to number four here. Moving right ahead. Blessed are those who will inherit the kingdom. Let's go back to Matthew 25. I know I'm having you jump all around tonight. Let's go to Matthew 25. Blessed are those who will inherit the kingdom. And I think we know that those who are going to inherit the kingdom of Jesus when he comes are believers, Christians, us. The followers of Christ will inherit his kingdom. But I want us to see this passage for ourselves. This is Matthew 25. And we want verse 34, and then I'll back up and read the context. This is Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34. So let me just read verse 34 first, then I'll back up and get the context a little bit. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So true Christians, true believers are lined up here, as it were, on the right hand of Jesus, and he's going to say to them, blessed are you, you've been blessed by God my Father, because you are going to inherit, you're going to enjoy, you're going to experience the kingdom that's been prepared for you from the very foundation of the world. Notice if we just go back to verse 31. Jesus says here, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. I believe in this context, the sheep represent true believers, the goats represent unbelievers. And so it is true believers in Christ, true followers of Christ, that are destined to be blessed by God and inherit the kingdom. So that's good news for us. We have something to look forward to. we have a reason to serve Jesus really well and to watch and to wait for His return, because when He returns, we will inherit something very special. We will experience something very special that's been prepared for us by God. And then the text goes on to reaffirm that Jesus expects us to do good, especially to all people. Notice verse 35. "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsting and give you drink?" Question mark. Well, when did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Question mark. Or when did we see you sick or in prison or come to you? Question mark. And then the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." So in doing good to fellow Christians is like doing good to Jesus. In fact, going a step further, the Apostle Paul tells us we should do good unto all people, especially those who belong to the household of faith. All right, moving right along here. "Blessed are those who believe yet have not seen Jesus." This is number 5. Go to John 20. Remember doubting Thomas? Jesus had some words for doubting Thomas. Jesus says, "Come over here. Reach your hand into my hand. Reach your hand into my side. See the wound that's there. See the print of the nails that nailed me to the cross." And Jesus says to Thomas, "Don't be doubting, but believing." And then Jesus goes on to say, if you're there now and say the Gospel of John chapter 20 and verse 29, Jesus said to Thomas, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed." And Thomas finally came around. He finally got rid of all of his doubts, seeing Jesus in person, seeing the flesh and blood body of Jesus, seeing the print of the nails in his hands and the mark of the spear in his side. Seeing all of that, Thomas finally believed. So Jesus says, "Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. But blessed are all those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's where you and I come in. We have not seen the flesh and blood body of Jesus on earth, and yet we believe. And so Jesus here commends us for our faith. And yes, what Jesus wants is faith. And He enjoys our faith. He cherishes our faith. And so just keep that in mind. Blessed are those who believe. And I know you're here tonight because you do believe. Number 6, moving right along. Blessed are those who endure temptation. If you will, go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Blessed are those who endure temptation. There's a special reward for those who endure temptation. And this may be all kinds of temptation. It may be maybe just trials or distresses of life. It could be sickness, illness, persecution. It could also be the temptation to do evil that Jesus is saying, blessed are those who endure that and don't succumb to that. If you're there now in James chapter 1, notice verse 12. James writes here and he says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Blessed is the man who withstands temptation. Blessed is the man who perseveres in his faith in God, even though he's going through a hard time. For when he has been proved, and his faith has been shown to be real, it says here, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." So here's a special call to us Christians to weather the storms of life, to go through difficulties and keep on believing and to persevere, because we will be blessed, we will be favored by God, and we will receive a special reward. Just look back in verse 2, same chapter, verse 2. James begins his whole letter here by saying, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into or you encounter various kinds of trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Another word for patience might be perseverance. He goes on to say, "But let patience," or let perseverance, "have its perfect work," or its perfecting work, "so that you may become perfect," or complete, or mature, "lacking nothing." And so James wants this quality of perseverance to ring true in every single Christian. Blessed are those who endure temptation. And then my last point tonight, number 7, is blessed are those who die in the Lord. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. That's because when Jesus comes, we'll be raised from the dead. and we will never experience death again. So we have a couple of passages here. Let's go to Revelation. Last book in the Bible, Revelation. Chapter 14, I have. Revelation 14. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. Suffering a loss is always hard, but if you have experienced the loss of a loved one who was a Christian, you can rest assured that the Bible says, blessed are those who die in the Lord. If you're there in Revelation 14, notice verse 13. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. That is, their works follow them for reward. This is probably maybe some point in the final tribulation period. In this vision that given to the Apostle John, the angel goes out to announce that from now on, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. We might think of the passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where Jesus there is hailed as the one who died for us and was raised from the dead. And because Jesus has died and been raised from the dead, we will be raised also. And there the Apostle Paul says that the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain at the second coming of Jesus, then will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then the Apostle Paul says, therefore comfort one another with these words. As Christians, we can look forward to the second coming of Jesus and the resurrection of the body. That's why it's said here, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Well, we've considered many of these blessed passages. I trust we'll carry out these kinds of things. We'll do these things. We'll attend to the Word of God and keep it. We'll do good. We'll be waiting and watching for the Lord's return. And we'll do these kinds of things, knowing that these things please God and please our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your Word. And we thank you that the path to happiness is no secret. The path or the means to joy and enjoying your blessing and your favor in a life has been made clear in the Bible. So Lord, help us to attend faithfully to spiritual things. And Lord, we just count it a joy to be able to fellowship with you, Lord. We thank you that through faith in Jesus, all of our sins have been forgiven and we have become your friends. How privileged we are. Dismiss us with your blessing tonight. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our final